Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Thank you, everybody, for leading us this morning in praise and worship of our Savior and King that came as a baby born in a manger. This morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 15 through 19 today. And as of today, we are officially halfway through the book of Hebrews. Halfway through. We started the book of Hebrews, I believe, the Sunday after Easter, or maybe the second Sunday after Easter. I can't remember exactly when we started it. But we started it then, and we have made it halfway through up until now. And we're going to just continue pressing along all the way until the end of chapter 13 in Hebrews. But this morning, if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15 through 19. And the Word of God says this. This becomes even more evident when another priest arises in the likeness of Melchizedek, who has become a priest not on the basis of a legal requirement concerning bodily descent, but by the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning for who you are and how great you are and how awesome you are, Lord. How we can come together and worship you and bow down to you and give you praise and glory and sing songs of the birth of Jesus, Lord. God, we just thank you so much for you sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, our salvation and our sins. God, this morning as we come to this passage and we continue to see that Jesus is the better priest and the better hope that gives us the and brings the better covenant, Lord, help us today to see that Jesus is our better hope. Our more imperfect hope. God, this morning I pray that you just help me to preach with simplicity, help me to preach with clarity, and help me to preach with passion. And God, I pray that I just preach nothing but your word and your word alone. We pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Useless. Pointless. Does nothing good to make things better. We've all experienced something like this, right? We've all experienced something, whether it be a tool or a piece of equipment that's no longer working, no longer functions the way it's supposed to, and it's just worthless, right? It's pointless, it's useless, it does no good. Or maybe it's something that is broken, as I just stated, something that's broken, no good anymore. Or maybe it could be somebody, like an employee or something like that. Some of you may have been bosses in your life and you have an employee that's just no good for nothing. They just don't accomplish a whole lot. It's not saying that they're useless or pointless or they're worthless, but the job they do is not a very good job. I remember as a kid playing baseball that we got this bat one year. And this was a really good bat. It was one of those bats that had all the pop, all the power. It was smooth swinging. It was just the best bat in the world. A very good bat. As a matter of fact, I remember my very first at-bat with this brand new bat, and I hit a home run, if my mind serves me correct. I loved that bat. Left center field, knocked it over, gone. It was great. But sadly, this bat had a fatal flaw. In just a few weeks, the bat cracked. It broke. And it was now, as we would say, useless. Pointless. It actually became a very big common problem with these bats, as I had several other players and teammates that had a very similar bat, the same exact bat, and over time, that same bat would break. Why? We don't know, but apparently it had a weak spot in the bat, and every time people would use it, it would become useless. It was pointless. This bat is ultimately very much like the Old Testament priest. They were weak. They were useless at bringing about perfection. They just couldn't do it. And because the Levitical priest was a flawed system that was weak and useless, they were not able to give any true hope to the people of Israel. But today, church, we are going to learn about how the better priest gives a better hope. You see, after my bat broke, we were able to return it, and they sent us a new one that was a different color, and I was disappointed. And it was not the same bat, and I was disappointed again because the old bat had better power and better pop. But the new bat, guess what? It did not have the fatal flaw. It did not have the weak spot. It did not have the part that made the bat broke or breakable. I still had a better bat, didn't I? Church, this morning, we are going to see that we can trust Jesus to be our better hope because He is the one who brings about perfection. We as humans, we're always trying to give ourselves hope, right? We're trying to give ourselves hope in weak and useless things of this world. We look to possessions to give us hope. We look to our job to give us hope. We look to family members to give us hope. We look to the next best thing, right, to give us hope. We look to ourselves sometimes, don't we, to give ourselves hope. We live in a world that is self-centered and it has driven us to a point where we believe we can give ourselves hope. Or maybe this morning you feel like you have a flawed hope. You're hoping, just hoping that you are good enough to be saved. You're worried and hoping that God isn't going to hold against you that mistake you made or that sin you did and keep you out of heaven. You fear that you are going to miss out on heaven because of mistakes in the past that you've made in your life. But church, may I remind you this morning, there is nothing and no one, including yourself in this world, that can give you hope like Jesus can. Jesus is the only one who can give the more true and better perfect hope. Jesus is the only one who can erase all doubt and worry and concern about if you're going to heaven or not. Because He is the perfect hope. Whom or what is your hope in today? Is Jesus your hope this morning? Is He the one in whom you have placed all of your trust in? Are you fully trusting in the work of the cross and have a full hope in what Jesus accomplished that day? My purpose in preaching this sermon to you today from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15 through 19 is for you to see that we have a better hope. A hope that is not useless and weak, but a hope that is indestructible and brings about perfection. An indestructible hope. So in our sermon today, we're going to see two more reasons, reason 3 and 4 of the 7 reasons why we have the better priest is a better hope and brings about a better covenant. And the first reason that we're going to look at today is that the better priest became a priest upon his resurrection. The better priest became a priest upon his resurrection. And this reason comes from verses 15 through 16 here. I'm going to put up verse 16 on the screen here for you to reference and for you to look at as I'm walking you through these things. But the first is that we see here, there's ultimately two things I'd like to just point out here. But the first we kind of saw last week. Jesus became a priest not on the basis of legal requirement. You see that there in verse 16. Not on the basis of legal requirement. Now, what is the legal requirement for one to become a priest? And ultimately, there's two reasons the author is pointing out to us here. The first, we saw last week, the only people who were to be priests were who? The Levites, right? They were the only people in the whole tribe of all the tribes of Israel that could be priests were the Levites, the Levitical people. But as we also saw last week, the law had changed because of Jesus and Him being the new and better priest, the new and better hope. But He came from the tribe of who? Judah, not from the tribe of Levi. And Judah, as we already know, was not the tribe of priests. And so we see here that Jesus is becoming a priest not on the basis of what? Legal requirement. Because He was from the tribe of Judah. But that isn't all. Our passage here indicates a second reason. Levitical men were to become priests when another priest passed. If you continue to read in verse 16 here, it says, not on the basis of legal requirement concerning bodily descent. Bodily descent. And unfortunately, we all too well know and understand what is meant by bodily descent. The priests, they got older, they aged, their health decreased, and they would eventually pass away just like the rest of the world would. Just like we're going to one day, they were summoning to the truth that the wages of sin is death. And when one priest died, another was legally required to step in his place. More Levites were always becoming priests. And Jesus, as you see, He didn't become a priest based on this legal requirement upon the death of another. He became a priest a totally different way. Scripture teaches us here of something even more powerful. And it leads us for the second thing for us to understand. Jesus became a priest not on the basis of legal requirement, but by the power of, and what was it say there? Indestructible life. Jesus became a priest because He lives forever. Jesus became a priest the moment He was raised from the grave. Upon His resurrection, Jesus, our Savior, was mediating for His followers, for His disciples, for those that believe in Him, for you and for me, upon His resurrection. And this was different than any other priest before, because all the other priests, they became a priest when another priest died. Jesus became a priest because He lived. Because He is alive. The grave could not hold Him. The grave had no power over Him. Death could not keep Him in the grave. Jesus was indestructible, as our passage says. And He became our great high priest because He lives. We sing the song, because He lives. Sing it with me. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Church, Jesus lives forever and ever and ever, and he has become the better priest because he lives. And because he lives, we have a better hope. We have a much, much better hope, and this means things for us this morning. It means that because he lives, he will forever be mediating for us and on behalf of us. Forever. If Jesus ever dies at any point in the future, if Jesus ever ceases to exist at any point in the future, we no longer have a high priest. We no longer have a mediator. We would then be separated from God again. But because he lives, because he had an indestructible life, he will never be brought to an end. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, the fear that grips us because of sin and shame is gone. And because he lives, we are extended mercy and grace every day of our lives. And because he lives, we have a better hope. A perfect hope. Endless hope. Eternal hope. Hope, a hope that never ends. And this is why we can trust in Jesus. Last week we talked about how Jesus makes us perfect and righteous. And you know what, church? Because he lives, we too will be perfect and righteous throughout all of eternity. We can trust Jesus. We can trust him to be our Savior, to be the one who is going to give grace and mercy because of the gospel of Jesus. And because he lives, we can draw near to the throne of grace. And know that we are going to be extended mercy all the days of our lives. Just because he lives. And because he lives, this ultimately leads us to our second reason today. The better priest. The better priest gives a better hope. I want to take a moment and just read to you Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 through 19. For on the one hand, so imagine two hands here, this is what the argument is. He's using two-hand argument. For on the one hand, a former commandment is set aside because of its weakness and uselessness. For the law made nothing perfect. But on the other hand, a better hope is introduced through which we draw near to God. But on the one hand, a better hope is introduced. Praise the Lord this morning that this better hope has been introduced. The author is using the two-hand argument, and on the first hand of the argument, he's saying that the former commandment is set aside. It's just picked up and set aside. It's moved out of the way. And the former commandment that he's actually talking about, we ask ourselves, what is this commandment? What is this former commandment that he's talking about here? In verse 19, we see that for the law made nothing perfect. So is the author here talking about the law as a whole? Or is he talking about specifically the law and the command concerning the Levitical priest? And so if you look at the context surrounding all these verses, all these passages, it appears that he's specifically talking about the commandment or the law concerning the Levitical priest. How they made nothing perfect. By looking at that and seeing that, and so what I believe he's saying in here is the Levitical priest, they have been picked up and they have been set aside. They've been moved out of the way. They've been picked up and moved out. They've been canceled. They're no longer needed, no longer necessary. He's moved them out of the way. They're like the spam mail that you get in the mailbox. What do you do with it? You pick it up, and you set it aside, and then you throw it in the trash can, right? That's what's happening with the Levitical priests. They've been picked up, they've been set aside, and they're going in the trash can. That's what's happening. The law of the priest is no longer needed, no longer necessary. They've been picked up, moved out of the way. But why? Why are they no longer needed? Why are they being set aside? we see here, we go back to verse 18. The former commandment is set aside because of its what? Weakness and uselessness. He says that it is weak and useless. And because it is weak and useless, as verse 19a says, the law made nothing perfect. It made no one perfect. It was weak and useless because it lacked in making someone perfect. We've already talked about this a little bit last Sunday, about how perfection could not be attained through the Levitical priest. And if it could have been attained through the Levitical priest, there would have been no reason for a new priest to come after the order of Melchizedek. No reason for Jesus to be the better priest. But because the law, the commandment, was weak and useless and lacked in making one perfect, and it was set aside. And praise God it was set aside this morning. Praise God it was set aside this morning. Because on the other hand, the better priest gives a better hope. Church, we now have a better hope. A hope that they didn't have before due to the weakness and uselessness of the law. The hope they had was flawed. But now we have a better hope. And I want to talk about this phrase, better hope, for just a moment. Because when you hear the word better hope, you may be thinking along the lines of like, oh, that hope is just a little bit better. Or maybe that hope is just a lot better. Does that make sense? Because that's what you hear. When you say something is better, it implies that, oh, it's just a little bit better. Or maybe it's a lot better. Does that make sense? Like the next iPhone or the next iPad, well, it's just a better version of the old iPad, right? You understand what I'm saying here? Or maybe you're thinking that it's like the newer version that just came out. Oh, the next new vehicle is better than the old vehicle. Version 2.0 is better than version 1.0. But church, this better hope is not hope 2.0. It's not just better. It's not just a little bit or a lot better. It's not just that the version is better. No, it is infinitely better. Infinitely better hope. And let me tell you, if something is infinite, guess what? It is perfect. You see the difference? We have a perfect hope this morning. A perfect hope. Entirely perfect hope. It's better because it is perfect. It is without mistake. It's without flaws. It's not weak and not useless. It is perfect. This better hope, this perfect hope, is brought to us by this better priest and is given to his followers and believers. And this hope ultimately makes, guess what? It makes us perfect. The former commandment could not make one perfect. But the better hope can make one perfect. In church, this is the only hope we have. The only hope we have, because we are just like the Levitical priest. We are weakless and we are useless to making ourselves perfect. We are weak and useless to saving ourselves. And this hope that we have in Jesus, it ultimately allows us to draw near to God. Remember the Israelites? They couldn't draw near to God, could they? They had to rely on a priest to go into the Holy of Holies, to be in God's presence, because that was the only way one could be near to God. That's where His glory was. That's where His Spirit was. They couldn't get into His presence. They had to rely on the high priest. But we, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we have a better hope in Jesus. We can go into the very presence of God. We can pray to God. We can talk to God. We can confess sins to God. We can ask for forgiveness. We can request wisdom and guidance from God. We can ask Him to lead us and guide us in everything that we can do. Why? Because we have a perfect hope. Do you know what else this better hope gives? It gives eternal life. Eternal life. We were once hopeless. As I just stated, we, on our own power, are weak and useless. We were without hope. We were separated from God and destined to hell and experiencing of God's wrath. Romans 6:23, I think, captures this well for us. I think I might have it there. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of sin and its consequences of death, we were hopeless. But church, praise be to God this morning. Because of the better priest that gives a better hope, we are no longer hopeless. Because we have been given eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been saved because of the better hope. The perfect hope. And maybe you are here today and you are realizing that you don't have this hope of Jesus in your life. You're realizing that you don't have the hope of eternal life. You've been running from possession to possession, seeking out hope from it. You've been holding on to your money or your job, thinking that it's going to give you hope. You've been running from this to that. You believe that your relationships you have are giving you hope, but you're realizing that even those relationships can't give you hope. Maybe you're running from addiction to addiction, looking and seeking out hope, and there's no hope to find. Maybe, just maybe, you've placed all that hope in yourself, and you're realizing that even yourself isn't good enough. But friend, what hope are any of those things? Possessions rust and go. Relationships are flawed. Addictions only destroy. And what kind of hope is that if you are having to hope that you are morally good enough? And that God would just accept you? Would it not be a better hope? Would it not be a more perfect hope? If you just put that hope in Jesus Christ this morning. Friend, this morning God's Word has taught us of a better hope, a perfect hope, a hope that is better than any possession, any addiction, any relationship, and even yourself. There is nothing in this world that can give you a better hope than Jesus Christ. His hope that He gives is forever. His hope is eternal. His hope is true. His hope will never fail you or let you down. His hope is perfect. His hope is salvation. So maybe you're interested this morning in that hope. You're interested in the hope of Jesus, and I want to share with you that that hope is readily available for you. It's right here. And all you have to do is repent of your sins. Repent of the sin of unbelief and begin believing in the work of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished from His virgin birth, through His perfect life, to His death on the cross, through His burial in the tomb, through His resurrection and His ascension to heaven. Believe in those things and believe that why Jesus did that was for your sin. To cover your sin for your salvation. And the Bible says you will be saved. You will have an eternal hope in Jesus. If that is you this morning, I would love to have a conversation with you about this gospel and about believing in Jesus and now what it means to follow Jesus as now a disciple of Jesus. Church, I want to take us back to a couple of weeks ago in chapter 6, verse 19, when the author states that we have a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, which is the hope we have in Jesus. Y'all remember that verse? Remember that passage? This better hope, this more perfect hope, is our sure and steadfast anchor. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that the hope that you have in Jesus is a perfect hope? Or are you hoping that it's just enough hope to get you there? Church, Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is our hope in life and in death. This morning in our sermon, we've seen two reasons why the better priest gives a better hope and brings a better covenant. The better priest has become a priest upon his resurrection. He did not become a priest due to bodily descent, but became a priest due to the power of his indestructible life. Because he lives, he is a priest. Secondly, we saw that the better priest gives a better hope. The former commandment had been set aside due to its weakness and uselessness of not making anyone perfect. But now we have a better hope that isn't weak and isn't useless. It's one that can make one perfect. It's a powerful hope. I want to close out today by reading from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. It says this, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Paul, in this passage, is quoting from the Old Testament several verses about how the Gentiles can praise God because they now have a hope or have a possibility of believing in the hope of Jesus, the one who has came to the nations. Church, each of us here today, we are all Gentiles, ain't we? Every single one of us. I don't know of any of you that were a Jew before you became a believer. But we were all Gentiles. We would have been the outcast. There would have been no way for us to be saved if we were still under the Old Covenant and the Old Testament. But because the better priest has come and has given us the better hope and brings the better covenant, guess what? We now have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ, be saved from the wrath of God. And so Paul was saying here that God, that this God of hope can fill us with joy and peace and believing. So whenever you are depressed, whenever you're sad, whenever you're going through difficult times in life, whenever you're going through tragedies that happen, because they're going to happen, right? When you're going through persecutions of this time, remember that you have joy in the hope you have in Jesus. Whenever your life is crazy, whenever your life is just feels like it's just filled with many things and there's no peace in your life, remember that through the hope you have in Jesus, you have peace. But I also want to go a step farther with that peace. Because this word peace isn't just a peace in your life. It's a peace between you and God. Because of the hope you have in Jesus, you have peace with God. Because before that, you had no peace with God. God's wrath was upon you. This was happening, if that makes sense. There was no connection. None of that was good. But through the better hope in Jesus, you now have peace with God. And lastly, the verse goes on, "By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Because of the hope we have in Jesus Christ, we as Christians, as believers, we can abound in hope. We can abound. I think of the verse where Jesus says, I come not to destroy and bring bad things, but I come to give abounding life. I think it's something along those lines. Forgive me for not having it correct. Yeah, give you abounding and eternal life. We can abound because we have our hope in the more imperfect hope, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this hope that you have sent in the form of a baby, Lord. This hope that you raised up and grew to be a man. To be a man that would live a perfect life, Lord. To be a man that would die on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. To be the hope that was buried in a tomb, and to be the hope that was resurrected out of the grave, Lord. And to be the hope that has ascended to heaven to sit at the right hand of you, Father, making intercession for us, his believers, his followers, his children, his disciples. God, we thank you so much for the hope that we have in Jesus. How it is a perfect hope. It's not a weak and useless hope, but it is a perfect hope. And God, we just praise you that Jesus is going to live eternally because he is indestructible. He cannot be destroyed. He will eternally be our hope. And so God, I just pray this morning that you will just help us to remember that we have our hope in you. God, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.